This is CICK News. Today on CICK News, it was the 106th Fall Fair this past weekend in Smithers, and with over 20,000 visitors to the fairgrounds, with temperatures nearing 30 degrees Celsius each day, the feeling walking through the grounds was, keep an eye on your children and stay hydrated. With events ranging from midway rides to logger sports, 4-H auction to petting zoos, CICK News focused this year on the next generation of farmers, buck riders, and performers. Here's my colleague Dan Messick at the Saturday Night Rodeo speaking to a young rider who's been bitten by the adrenaline-seeking bug of buck riding. Roper DeYoung is the latest in a long line of riders who feel the need for steed.
Can I put it on? I just didn't have a tight.
Smithers, time has come. We welcome you to our Smithers Rodeo at the BBX for 2025. All righty, fellas, it's on my count. 3, 2, 1, let them fly. Here we go. Those cowboys got to set that gear back in. So this is Roper DeYoung. Now, if you remember a little bit ago, he was having a bit of a battle to get things sorted out. It looks like there's still a little bit of a war going on inside our bare overhead doors buck chute. Through all your ups and downs, that saying couldn't pay off any better than it does for the situation, trying to get Roper DeYoung in the saddle and out of the chute. So when we get that buck chute open far and wide, we gotta make as much noise as possible to make sure that he's got all of us behind him. Now as we take a look at his matchup tonight, it is gonna be Seven Lakes of the Sorkin Rodeo Firm that he's got. All righty, Roper.
I'm Roper DeYoung. I'm from Smithers, BC. I've recently moved to Houston.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, you were just there in the rodeo. Tell me a little bit about what you were doing.
I was doing horse racing. Didn't do too good then. I went on to a saddle bunk right after that. Got one jump in and came right out of the swells and hit the ground.
Yeah. I heard you're pretty young and kind of making your way into the game here, into the sport. What's it like to be young, to kind of be getting ready with the animal? It looked like the one you got on was that horse was pretty upset, ready to go.
It's kind of scary for a little bit when you first get into it. Once you get into it, like kind of like 17, my age, a little bit older, you kind of get used to it and you kind of just toughen through it.
What's kind of going through your head when you're just trying to get the saddle on, get everything ready to go? What's kind of going through your mind when you're about to step on that horse?
Don't throw me off. That's about all.
This is your hometown rodeo. What do you do to get ready for that?
Basically, just hop on a bunch of ponies, ride around, get used to it, mainly bareback usually because you get the rhythm of the horse, and then throw a saddle on, get used to sucking yourself down into the swells, and then basically just start hopping onto rank horses. Yeah.
What's your favorite part of the rodeo?
The bucking horses. Yeah.
Why is that?
They buck and they are cool to watch, and it's always the rhythm. It's always an art. Yeah.
Roper, where do you go after this?
Go back to my tent to go drink and have fun.
All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Young riders come in all shapes and sizes. Having and caring for a horse is a large responsibility for young people that teaches them the skill of time management, mindfulness, how to stay calm, and above all, how to be in sync with an animal 10 times your size. Friday morning, I met a young rider with her pony just moments after her dressage performance.
Hi, my name is Kenzie Germain.
Okay, and who's this?
This is Charlie Brown.
Tell me a little bit about Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown is a 19-year-old Welsh cob. He's 14.2.
What does that mean, 14.2?
Height-wise.
To explain further, a 14.2 horse refers to a horse that is 14 hands and 2 inches tall, which is a common height measurement for equines, particularly as the official cutoff for classifying an animal as a pony rather than a horse is 14.2. Now, a hand is equal to 4 inches, so 14.2 hands is equal to 58 inches at the withers, or the highest point of the horse's shoulder blades.
You were saying something interesting, that he's kind of, like, he's a pony, but he looks horse size here, so kind of what's special about him?
Well, he's just under a horse. So he's the highest pony you can get.
Okay, but the lowest horse?
Yeah, no, he's not a horse.
Yeah,
so
okay, right.
He's a pony.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Trick question. Good, you answered. Yeah, that was the skill testing question. Okay, so you just finished competing in dressage. Can you just tell me a little bit about it?
It's basically movements, and there's letters, and you go around, and you do the movements with your horse.
Mm-hmm. Are you one of the youngest competitors, or is it people around your age?
I know I have some friends that are doing it, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And older.
Yeah. And how do you think you did?
Pretty good. Hard to say.
Yeah. Is this your first year competing in dressage? And then I know you're doing jumping as well tomorrow. Is this your first year, or how long have you been competing?
Well, technically I've been with a horse for quite some time, but I've been competing for like 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Next up was a visit to the 4-H pen, where I watched Nikayla Leatherdale take first place in the unregistered category for her ewe, Bailey, who was extremely interested in the purple and gold rosette, which moments after Nikayla accepted it was torn apart by Bailey's fast-acting jaw.
Okay, this is kind of a hard class. You got a mixture of everything in here. You got different breeds and everything else, so up and down, wherever you go, you just kind of pass. But I went with this first place one with a lady with a pink shirt on. Just an overall good ewe.
To judge a breeding ewe, the judge evaluates her structural soundness, such as balance, length, and width of body, paying attention to her udder development, teat size, and overall health. They're also checking for good feet and a straight mouth to ensure that she can forage and birth healthy lambs, while also assessing her wool quality and condition.
My name's Nikayla Leatherdale.
Okay. Does this one have a name?
This is Bailey.
Okay. So you just won first place. Is it an unregistered, or what's the division?
It's an unregistered short wool class.
Okay, so what does that mean?
So many of the sheep breeds will have a determining factor. So Suffolk and Charolais, those are all your short wool breeds. The long wool sheep breeds is anything like a Romney or a Merino wool. It's a wool with fiber.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, great. Well, how does it feel to win? Is this your first win?
This is my first win at an open show, yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, it feels pretty good.
Yeah. So what do you do now with that information?
Well, now I know that not only myself, but other people share the same opinion about my breeding stock. So now when I take her home and breed her, hopefully my future lambs will have the same characteristics as her, and I will be able to have a good, solid breeding stock to be able to provide 4-H members with.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so you're part of 4-H, then?
I am, yes. I'm a 12-year member of the Vanderhoof and Fort St. James District.
Vanderhoof, you just answered that next question. Okay, yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And a visit to the Bulkley Valley Exhibition isn't really complete without a stop at the Canine Stars Show. This is a traveling show of dog athleticism and stunts, performed by high-energy pups of all breeds who are becoming international stars for their stunts and celebrity likeness. Owner Carrie Carraher has been operating Canine Stars since 2012, and her passion for rescue dogs has created a massive following for her crew of forgotten or castaway dogs in America. Her Canine Stars have entertained audiences of the hundreds of thousands. So why exactly do they come to rural northern BC after they've performed for stadiums of fans at Formula One races and America's Got Talent?
My name is Carrie Carraher. I'm the president of the Canine Stars.
Are all the dogs in the show, is every one of them a rescue?
Almost all of them. All of mine are. I have 14, my husband and I, that run the show. And so we've always had different trainers and different dogs. And then Aislinn, who's our other trainer here, she was last here, like maybe 7 years ago. We definitely focus on rescue dogs. I don't know if you guys have as much of a problem up here, but down in the States, it's pretty horrendous how many dogs are in shelters and they get euthanized because there's not enough homes for them. Mm-hmm. So we always promote, go save a dog at a shelter before, you know, having to go to a breeder and actually buying a dog. Just because, you know, we don't want the dogs to be euthanized. So obviously there's tons of dogs that were homeless that are in shelters, and look what we've done with them. They're amazing dogs. Every dog is an individual. You can train any dog. anything. They all have something that they're going to be good at, and that's what we try to do in our show, is find what they're going to be best at.
How, I guess, do you determine what a dog's going to be? Like, are you just kind of trying them out with a bunch of different activities?
Yeah, so, like, the ones that play Frisbee are the dogs that really like to bite and grab at toys and chase toys. They're going to play Frisbee. They're also probably really good at dock diving because they want to jump in the air and grab a toy. Where a freestyle dance dog, you don't have toys involved, and that's more controlled learning actual specific behaviors and tricks that you do for treats. So the dogs that are super treat motivated, we train them things like dog dancing and maybe agility as well.
What if you find a dog, like what if you you have a dog, you like it, you bring it home, and then what if it just doesn't seem very interested in doing any of these things, or have you come across that before?
Yeah, so it's all about finding what motivates that individual dog. Yeah. So if your dog doesn't like the treats you're giving him, try something else, like try some string cheese, try some steak, or maybe you're training them after they just ate their breakfast. Well, train them before they've had their breakfast. And then with toys, you can't just throw a toy and then it just sits there. That's not super exciting. That's why we like to train our dogs to tug, because you're all wild with the toys, you're playing crazy with them, pushing your dog away, kind of wrestling, and that's what gets them really excited about playing toys.
Where are you from?
I'm from Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so are you like on a tour, like Smithers BVX? Is this like one part of a stop for a tour, or what's your life like?
Unfortunately, the last show I just did was in New Jersey. And the next show that I'm going to is in Mexico City. So it was not on my route to go to the BVX, but we're here every single year. We love it. We come back no matter what.
Could I ask why you would make the trip all the way up here?
I love it. Look, it's beautiful. Like, it's gorgeous. The people are amazing. The weather is perfect. We have hiking and go see waterfalls, and it's worth it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good, great. Some of these dogs have been on America's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. You said F1? Like Formula
yep,
One?
Yep, we've performed at Formula One races. Okay. We actually have a whole team of dogs called the Dogs of F1. That, like, for example, Opal, that was here, she replaces the Formula One driver, George Russell, and we call her George Jack Russell, and she has the full racing suit and everything.
Oh my God.
So we go around at the races. Bumblebee takes the place of the reigning world champion, Max Verstappen, and we call her Max Verstappen. People love it. And our most famous one is the driver, Oscar Piastri, who he's the current leader in Formula One, our dog, Oscar Paw Astri. And I think she's gotten like 20,000 follows on her Instagram page already this year. So the Dogs of F1 are super famous.
Oh, okay, that's really good.
Yeah.
I know, I was just trying to think, it's like Lewis Hamilton. It's like, what would be like Lewis Hamilton?
Lou Wolf Hamilton.
So do you already have it? Or are you just like, your
brain
just works
that
way?
It's actually the same chocolate lab that played Simon Cowell on America's Got Talent. She's the one that plays Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah. So when do you know that that one of your pups is ready for retirement? And then what does that look like for them as well?
I mean, so you saw Kai was out here. Mm-hmm. He's 10 years old. Still doing great, barking, loves it. But like, for example, today we have 4 shows a day, so maybe he wouldn't perform in all 4. Mm-hmm. Or if we were at a fair that was like 10 days long, maybe he just does every other day performs. Mm-hmm. But the minute you stop doing that stuff, they're gonna stop and start falling apart. Yeah. So you gotta keep them active no matter what.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming.
CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.